From NPR in Los Angeles, I'm Tavis Smiley. In the 1950s, Benny Golson emerged as one of the best around on the tenor sax. Check out the famous Art Caine photo from 1958 set against the backdrop of a brownstone in Harlem, the one featuring Mingus, Diz, Count Basie, and Mary Lou Williams, and dozens of that era's greats, and you'll find right there Benny Golson, center and on top. That photo and Benny Golson are seeing renewed attention, at least from us, because of the Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks movie, The Terminal.
Let's do Killer Joe. It worked all right last night, so we'll try.
The film's subplot includes a decades-long autograph hunt for all who made it into the photo, including one Benny Golson.
My father, the leader of Senaf Dvorsky, was a great, great fan of your music.
Oh, jazz fan, fantastic. Yes.
Would your sign your name, please?
Well, can I do it a little later? We have to get started now.
Now, we don't want to give away too much of the movie, but we will tell you that The Terminal features a nice little segment featuring Benny Golson in one of his great pieces, Killer Joe. Benny Golson joins us now practically between sets from Vienna, Austria, and the studios of ORF, Austrian State Radio. Mr. Golson, it's an honor to have you on the program, sir.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
So what do you think of this movie business and getting a call from Steven Spielberg to actually play a role in this film?
We've actually finished it, and I still don't believe it. I wrote him a letter, and I called him I said, you were my hero before, but now you are my shadow warrior.
So tell me how this came to be. How did it happen?
My office in L.A. got a call from him. And I happened to be over here last year. I was in Germany. And they called me and said that Steven Spielberg called me and wanted to know, could I be in a small speaking role with Tom Hanks in his new film? And of course I said yes. And then later I asked, well, who will I be portraying? And he said, yourself. But I still didn't know what it was until we got to Montreal where we shot. And that's when I found out that it tied in with that now famous photograph by Art Caine, which had 58 musicians on it.
That was a great photograph. While we're on that, tell me about that day, about the shoot. I mean, everybody who's remotely in the know, certainly about jazz, has seen this photo the world over. Tell me about that day, about the shot. What do you remember?
I remember everything about it. I got a call from a fellow named, who was a jazz journalist at the time, he's a political writer now, Nat Hentoff. He called me and told me that I should be there if I wanted to be a part of this photograph. And I went up there not really knowing what to expect. And when I got there, being the new boy in town, there were actually there were 59, but one went to get a beer or something at the local tavern and didn't make it back for the photograph.
Wow.
I knew only about four people, one of which was Dizzy Gillespie, with whom I was playing at the time. Mm-hmm. The other was Art Farmer and Johnny Griffin and Sonny Rollins. I was a stranger to everybody else, and I wondered, well, why did I get a call to come? Nobody knows who I am. And none of us knew at that time that this picture would go on to become famous. Now you can buy it anywhere in New York.
Your new CD is titled Terminal One. I assume that that is pure coincidence and no relation to the movie.
In Terminal One, I try to portray what happens in a terminal. The drums really becomes the voice of the people. Very active even throughout the melody and through part of the solos. And after we end the tune, you know that the drums continue to play. Mm-hmm. And it's as though an airport is taking off and the voice of the people gets fainter and fainter and fainter.
Much too creative for me, Mr. Golson. Much too creative, but I love it. You are, speaking of being creative, you are a musician known for more jazz standards, I suspect, than anyone else I listen to. But Spielberg has you playing at a lounge in the Ramada Inn in this movie. You okay with that?
It's all right with me. I'll play wherever he wants me to play. Are you kidding?
Talk to Talk to me more about playing with Art Blakey and working your way up to become one of the greats in your own right. It's been quite a career for you, and you are still going strong.
I got a call to come to sub for someone for one night, and he sort of liked what I was doing and asked me would I be able to join the Messengers. I told him no, I'd just come to New York and I didn't want to leave. You know, when you move, you lose. So I told him I would love to play with him, but I was concerned about my own career at that point. And he conned me into it. He said, well, look, I know you want to stay in town, but 1 week in Pittsburgh wouldn't bother you. That's just 1 week. And each night I played with him, I was enjoying it more and more and more. And after the 1 week in Pittsburgh, he said to me, didn't you used to go to Howard University? I said, oh, it's like my second home. He says, look, I have 2 weeks in Washington, D.C. Can you make it? I made it and never talked about not being a messenger. I was a messenger without knowing it.
You have a house in Germany. As a matter of fact, trying to track you down for this conversation, my producers tell me they first caught up with you in Bordeaux, and now we, of course, talk to you for this conversation from Vienna. I take it you like it over there.
It's a matter of convenience. It's not a status symbol or anything like that. During the summer, there are a lot of festivals here and a lot of concerts and master classes and things like that. I said it would be a good idea to have a place here. And people said, well, why Germany? You know, they well, Paris or something. I said, well, my daughter had moved there, and we wanted to be close to her. And it was a little town called Friedrichshafen. And we moved there and settled in. And as we settled in, she moved back to the States. But we stayed because we liked it. Yeah. I don't do too well with the language. I speak my best German, and they say to me, excuse me, do you speak English? So that lets you know how the German is doing.
Tell me about the audiences over there. Tell me how audiences over there differ from American audiences.
The audiences are very enthusiastic. We opened here last night in Vienna, and this seems to be the soccer season. And the owner said, well, we're not expecting many people. Last week, we were down one night to 5 people. But there were about 35 people there last night, and they were very enthusiastic. And since I don't speak much, well, I don't speak any German, I guess, I did my talking in English, and everybody seemed to understand me. They laughed at my tired jokes. Yeah. And we had a good time. The band is very good, too. The piano, bass, and drums accompany me. Yeah. Yours Dudley on drums and Hans on bass. I've forgotten his last name. And Fritz Power. Great. I could record with these guys.
Speaking of recording, it's not the traditional definition of recording with regard to a jazz legend, but you have been recording your life, that is to say, on the pages of a book, a memoir. Tell me about that project.
Oh, you know about that.
Absolutely.
Yes. I've been writing my autobiography, but I kept saying, I don't know who's going to publish this thing because it's about 1,000 pages. Who wants to read 1,000 pages about Benny Golson? But someone called and they're interested, and we're talking about it now.
Hey, Bill Clinton's book is almost 1,000 pages, and people are reading it.
Oh, man, he sold over 250,000 the first week. I don't know if I'll do that.
But you know what? He may have you on book sales, but he can't compete with you on the horn.
You might be right.
I know I'm right about that. Benny Golson is a jazz legend. He's touring Europe and backing up his new CD called Terminal One. You can see him in the film now touring the country called The Terminal. Find out more about Benny by logging on to our website at npr.org. You can learn more about him and this wonderful photo known as Harlem 1958. When are you back in the States, Mr. Golson?
We usually come over here and stay from April, May, or June until October. Then we come back to the States.
Mr. Golson, all the best to you, sir.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.